All right, let's dive into something pretty fascinating today.
Sounds good.
This is a story with a lot of symbolism and deeper meaning.
Yeah.
The encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman.
Okay.
At Jacob's well.
Right.
From the Gospel of John.
Gotcha.
And this isn't just any water break.
No.
There are some real social taboos here and some hidden meanings.
Yeah.
This is a conversation that sparks a whole spiritual revolution.
So it all starts with the setting.
Okay.
Skatar, a town in Samaria.
Okay.
At Jacob's well.
Right.
And this well was important.
How so?
It wasn't just a place to get water.
Right.
It had historical significance.
I see.
For the Samaritan people.
Okay. So the setting is significant.
Right.
But weren't there some issues between
yeah.
Jews and Samaritans?
Big time.
Like serious tension?
Definitely.
So why is Jesus a Jewish man even in Samaria?
Right.
Let alone talking to a Samaritan woman.
It was a bold move.
Yeah, it's like, for sure.
Walking into a rival sports bar.
Exactly.
Wearing the other team's jersey.
It was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a small talk. Jesus was tired from traveling.
Okay.
But he still talked to her.
Yeah.
A deep conversation.
Right.
Breaking all kinds of social norms.
So this wasn't...
Not at all.
An accident. It was intentional.
It was intentional.
Intentional.
Think about it.
Okay.
He asks her for a drink.
Right.
Seems simple.
Yeah.
But then he talks about living water.
Oh, okay.
It's like he's using this simple request
yeah.
to open up something much bigger.
I see. So she's thinking
exactly
literal water.
H2O.
Not some spiritual.
Right. And that's what makes this so interesting.
Okay.
Jesus used metaphors.
Yeah.
To explain complex spiritual truths.
I see.
It's like he bypassed all the religious jargon and went straight to the point.
So he's trying to awaken a deeper longing.
A spiritual thirst
yeah.
that only he can satisfy. And to get this living water,
yes.
you have to confront your past.
Exactly.
You mean like when Jesus reveals
yeah.
that he knows about her five previous husbands?
And her current relationship.
Which was, well...
Complicated. That's one way to put it.
That's pretty awkward.
It's surprising, right?
Yeah. Why bring that up?
But he doesn't judge her.
Oh.
He uses this knowledge to create honesty.
Oh.
Vulnerability.
So he's saying, I see you.
Yeah.
I know you.
I know your story.
And I still offer you this gift.
It wasn't condemnation. It was about transformation.
Okay, so he's creating a connection.
Exactly.
And now she's ready to talk about bigger questions.
Like where true worship should be.
Was it on the mountain?
Right.
Or in Jerusalem?
That was a big debate back then.
It sounded like a theological hot potato.
And Jesus, being Jesus, changes everything.
What do you mean?
He tells her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So it's not about the location.
No.
Then what is it about?
He says true worship has to be in spirit and truth.
And why is that important?
Well, back then, worship was all about rituals,
right.
sacrifices, going to the right place
yeah.
at the right time.
Okay.
But Jesus changes that.
So he's moving away from the
yeah.
external.
To the internal.
From empty rituals
yeah.
to a genuine connection
okay.
with God.
It's still relevant today.
I mean, like going through the motions?
Yes. Are you just going through the motions?
Or are you really connecting with God?
In a real way.
Wow. That's a lot to think about.
It is.
So much to unpack already.
Yeah.
But this conversation isn't over.
Not at all.
I have a feeling it's going to get even more intense.
Oh, for sure.
So what happens next?
Well, that's where we'll pick up in the next part.
Yeah.
And her response is not what you'd think.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah.
So we were talking about how Jesus brought the woman's past into the light.
Right. And then she brings up the Messiah.
Yeah. It's almost like she's testing him.
Like she's saying, I know the Messiah's coming.
And when he does,
he'll explain everything.
Right.
She's looking for truth.
Yeah. Deep down.
It's understanding.
And what's amazing
yeah.
is how Jesus responds.
What does he say?
One of the most profound statements ever.
Okay.
He just says, I who speak to you am he.
Wow.
Straight up reveals who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about how Jesus uses metaphors.
Right. The parables. But here.
He's so direct.
It's powerful.
Why would he do that?
I think it shows the connection they had.
You mean like...
He saw something in her...
Yeah.
Her openness.
To the truth. And he trusted her.
With this huge revelation.
So how does she react?
It's amazing.
What does she do?
She doesn't question him.
No.
She leaves her water jar.
She just walks away.
And runs back to town.
To tell everyone.
She met the Messiah.
Wait, she leaves her water jar?
It's symbolic.
What do you mean? That jar?
Yeah.
It represents her old life?
The search for fulfillment.
In the wrong places.
Okay, so she's leaving that behind.
It's a statement.
I found something better.
That truly satisfies.
So it's not just intellectual belief.
It's more than that.
It's about a changed life.
Priorities.
Values.
A whole way of being.
And she can't keep quiet.
Nope.
She has to share it.
And it works.
Really.
The text says that many of the Samaritans from her town believed in Jesus.
Just because of her.
Because of her words.
That's incredible.
Personal experience. It can be so powerful.
It's like people don't care how much you know.
Right.
Until they know how much you care.
Jesus cared for her.
And that opened her heart.
And then she cared enough to share.
With everyone else.
Like a ripple effect.
Spreading outward.
Yeah.
So much happened at that well.
There's more while they're talking. The disciples come back.
From now.
He went to buy food.
And they see Jesus.
Talking to this woman.
A Samaritan.
Breaking all the rules.
Can you imagine their faces?
Oh, yeah.
What are they thinking?
They don't say anything.
You can sense the disapproval.
But Jesus knows his mission.
He ignores them.
What does he say?
I have food to eat that you don't know about.
Now they're probably thinking about
a hidden picnic basket.
Right, but he means something else.
He's talking about doing God's will.
That's his food.
He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work.
Wow.
He's committed to his mission.
Even when it's hard.
Even when it's unexpected.
So true satisfaction.
Doesn't come from earthly pleasures.
But from a higher purpose.
And then he uses this amazing analogy.
Okay.
About the harvest.
Tell me about that.
He points to the fields and says, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest.
He's not talking about wheat.
No, the spiritual harvest.
People ready to hear the message.
It's not just preaching to crowds.
But those one-on-one conversations, like with the woman.
They can change everything.
He wants his disciples to see the world differently.
The opportunities all around us.
Yeah.
The story's amazing.
It is.
They've got the woman.
The living water.
The harvest.
It all builds on each other.
Truths about faith. And purpose.
And God's love.
But there's one more part.
You're right.
Something about a healing.
It seems separate at first.
But it connects to everything else.
Jesus leaves Seir, goes to Cana in Galilee.
Okay.
And there's this royal official.
Okay.
His son is really sick.
And he hears about Jesus.
He begs Jesus to heal his son.
Every parent's worst nightmare.
Yeah, he's desperate.
And Jesus says,
unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.
That sounds harsh.
Yeah, but I think Jesus is going deeper.
Deeper?
New faith.
It's about
what? Trusting God.
Even when we don't understand.
Exactly.
The official is desperate.
He says, sir, come down before my child dies.
He's so humble.
His love for his son.
You can feel his faith.
And what does Jesus do?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
He doesn't go with him.
Yeah.
He just says, go. Your son will live.
And the official believes him.
Completely.
And goes home.
And as he's traveling,
yeah.
He gets word from his servants.
His son is better.
He's recovering.
Wow. And when did the fever break?
The exact moment Jesus spoke the words.
That's incredible.
It shows Jesus' power.
To heal anyone.
Anywhere.
But how does this story...
It's like the woman at the well.
You mean like...
They both show the power of faith.
And God working in unexpected ways.
The woman met Jesus randomly.
And the official sought him out.
But they were both willing to believe.
That's the key.
It led them to experience God's grace.
So whether it's a random encounter...
Or a desperate plea.
Faith is what matters.
It's about opening our hearts.
To something bigger than ourselves.
Even when we don't get it.
This has been an amazing journey.
It has.
So much meaning in this story.
Social taboos.
Hidden meanings.
We've seen faith in action.
I feel like there's still more to unpack.
Oh, yeah.
What should we focus on?
That's what we'll talk about next.
Okay.
Okay, we'll see how this story applies to us.
Our own search for meaning.
And purpose.
These two stories we've been talking about.
Yeah.
The woman at the well.
Right.
And the official son.
They really do connect.
Like two sides of the same coin.
It's about looking beyond what we think we know.
Letting go of those limitations.
And trusting something bigger.
The woman had to change her whole view of Jesus.
And what he could offer.
The official had to believe him.
Even when it didn't make sense.
They both took a leap of faith.
Into the unknown.
To find God's grace.
But their faith wasn't just sitting around thinking.
It was about action.
The woman ran to tell everyone.
And the official went straight home.
Believing his son would be healed.
It wasn't just in their heads.
It was in their actions.
So it's not enough to just say you believe.
Right. You have to show it.
Live it out.
And look at what happened.
Because of them.
The woman's story led people to Jesus.
And the official's faith saved his son.
And probably made his own faith stronger.
Our faith can affect others.
It's not just a private thing.
It can change the world.
Like ripples spreading out.
I love that image.
Me too.
We've talked about how Jesus challenged the woman's ideas about worship.
What can we learn from that?
That true worship
isn't about a place
or some ritual.
He said it himself.
The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
It's about something deeper.
So not the right church.
Not the right rituals.
But the right heart.
A heart connected to God.
Open to his truth.
That's what changes us.
From the inside out.
Like building an altar.
Not with stone.
But with our hearts.
It's easy to get caught up in the externals.
In this busy world.
But we need to go deeper.
Find that inner space.
How we connect with God.
Find the wells in our lives.
The places where we search for meaning.
Are we looking in the right places?
Are we settling for less?
When there's living water.
That truly satisfies.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does.
So how do we live this out?
How do we find that in spirit and truth worship?
How do we drink from that well?
It's not about adding more to our to-do list.
Right.
It's about finding those quiet moments.
Being still.
Listening.
God's voice.
Maybe during a walk.
Or doing the dishes.
Or even when things are hard.
Just noticing God.
In every part of our lives.
Paying attention.
Being present.
Noticing those little nudges.
Those whispers of grace.
They're always there.
If we're listening.
This relationship with God.
It's a journey.
Not a destination.
Sometimes we're close.
Sometimes we're far.
Sometimes we're strong.
Sometimes we doubt.
But God's always there.
Offering us his living water.
His grace and love.
Ready for us to receive it.
What a journey this has been.
I know, right?
So much depth in this story.
The history, symbols.
Truths that are just as important today.
As they were back then.
I feel a sense of hope.
Me too.
Knowing that no matter who we are,
or where we come from.
God sees us.
He knows us.
And loves us.
And it's inspiring.
To see how simple encounters
can become something extraordinary.
When we're open to God.
So as we go from here.
Let's remember this story.
The woman's thirst for truth.
Her belief.
The official's plea.
And his unwavering faith.
Let their stories inspire us.
To seek that living water.
That truly satisfies.
To worship in spirit and truth.
And to live out our faith.
In a way that changes the world.
Thanks for joining us.
Until next time.